It's Thursday, time for the Chico News and Review, local news and arts from Butte County's community newspaper on the radio. Hey there, Butte County. Jason Cassidy here, interim editor of the Chico News and Review newspaper and your host for this Chico News and Review radio show on KZFR 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Happy Campers RV Rentals, a locally owned small business offering clean and comfortable RVs to rent for a weekend getaway or an extended vacation. They also offer a variety of camping essentials to meet your needs. Choose from different sizes and styles and feel at home away from home. For details, visit happycamperschico.com. And by the Yoga Center of Chico, open every day with both in-studio and online classes via Zoom. In-studio classes following all state-mandated protocol for safety. The Yoga Center of Chico also has a retail store at 250 Vallambrosa Avenue, Suite 150, next to T-Bar. Details at yogacenterofchico.com or at 342-0100. On today's show, we have a special report from community journalist Guillermo Mash on the Defund the Police efforts at CSU campuses and an update on the Tuesday night Chico City Council meeting and an interview with Chico Theater Company Executive Director Mark Edson. But first, a brief but very important note. It's print issue day. The May edition of the CNR is on the stands today, and you can find physical copies of the paper all over Butte County. All right, let's get into the show. The following segment was produced by local activist, journalist, and longtime KZFR programmer Guillermo Mash as part of his latest grassroots media and civic engagement endeavor, Imagining Community. Mesh's project is primarily focused on environmental issues, but in this case, he is reporting from the front lines of the Defund the Police movement, specifically activist efforts taking place on campuses in the California State University system.
Guillermo Mesh with Imagining Community reporting for the Chico News and Review on the radio for Thursday, May 6th, 2021, with a spotlight on the campaign to defund university police, organized by Students for Equality Education. Students for Equality Education was formed in the 2007 to 2008 school year by California State University students to build a student movement for educational rights in public higher education with assistance by the California Faculty Association. Today, SQE has an active presence on all 23 California State University campuses, providing a student body-led voice for change, including organizing statewide actions such as the Northern California Defund the University Police Car Caravan protest held in the parking lot of the University Police Department at California State University Sacramento on Saturday, May 1st.
CSU, we deserve funding too! Shame on you! CSU, we deserve funding too! Show me your budget, I'll show you your priorities! Caps over tops! Caps over tops!
Yeah, my name's Ade. I'm out here because I actually do the student organizing sector of the California Faculty Association. And I make sure that all the students in the North State CSUs are supported in their abolitionist work to make sure that they're heard and that they have resources and all of that stuff.
For our listeners that may not be as familiar as the abolitionist, what does that mean? What does that mean to you and what are you looking to accomplish?
Yeah, abolition to me means investing in life-affirming institutions over police. I know that many times folks think that police are this overarching entity that can handle so many things, but that's not the case. No. We need mental health resources for students. We need to make sure they have resource centers. We need to make sure that they're supported beyond what the university is already offering them. We want to make sure that cops aren't the ones getting the majority of the money, but rather students, faculty, and staff. Yeah. And I am actually a Chico State graduate. Yeah. So I studied politics up there, and then I moved into supporting students in this work. Chico State is actually one of my most troublesome campuses when it comes to abolishing police, because they give police way too much say in these kinds of things, a lot more than other campuses, surprisingly. And they are really, really good at silencing students on that campus.
Any examples?
I think they like to handpick students who can speak up rather than listen to students at large who have been working on this forever. So they'll go out of their way to get student voices, but specific student voices that will cater administration needs rather than students who are actually speaking for students at large.
CSU, shame on you! We need funding too! When black lives are under attack, what do we do? Rise up, fight back! When black lives are under attack, what do we do? Rise up!
3 days after the Defund University Police caravan, the Titan student paper on California State University Fullerton published the following. At the last meeting of the school year, the Associated Students Board of Directors voted Tuesday to urge Cal State Fullerton to reallocate funds from the University Police Department to mental health services. The resolution, which passed 11-0 with 6 members abstaining, called for university police to ban all aggressive police tactics, lethal firearms, and excessive use of force during student events, student protest, or any other campus affairs. The proposition called on the university to be more transparent and publicize any ties or contracts with local, state, and county agencies, and that CSUF implement the changes outlined in the document by 2024 to 2025. Imagining Community spoke yesterday with SQE co-intern Melise Bonifacio Jerez on the campus of California State University, Chico.
Chico State SQE, I would say we're about 10 members, which is pretty normal for most campuses, right? And we're NorCal too, so we're a little tiny college town here. But in SoCal, our numbers are much, much bigger.
So let's talk about SoCal a little bit. I know yesterday leadership at Cal State Fullerton student body voted to defund the police. What's your thoughts on that, and what's going on that type of campaign here at Chico State?
It is beautiful, and it is about time, honestly. I'm excited to hear that Fullerton student leadership voted to defund and disarm and abolish their UPD, because Fullerton's political climate is similar to Chico State's, right? We have our radical student of color activists here, and then we have, you know, our conservative students that harass and bully students of color, marginalized students. It's a very similar climate over there at Fullerton, like Chico, right? And so if Fullerton can do it, then so can Chico State. Here at Chico, President Gail Hutchinson created a UPD task force that only has 4 students in that task force, by the way. The rest is all admin and other faculty that she picked herself. And they've been having discussions over a year now about UPD policy and how to, quote unquote, integrate UPD into student spaces, which is the opposite of what SQE is fighting for. You know, we believe that having police in these spaces are actually counterproductive. What ends up happening is that the police takes over these committee meetings. You know, we have our chief of UPD who's part of the task force, which seems like a conflict of interest, right? You know, and what we're noticing now is, you know, the report is coming out at the end of the month. I heard that it was May 25th, which is the anniversary of George Floyd's death, by the way. You know, and that kind of shows you right there that they are not listening. They haven't been listening. All they really want to do is just make UPD look nice and not address the harassment and racism that UPD has displayed not only to faculty, but towards students as well.
Imagining Community will continue to cover this story with a keen interest in what recommendations the Presidential Task Force to Examine Chico State University Police Policies and Practices publishes at the end of the month. Like and follow Imagining Community on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and subscribe to our podcast available on all major streaming platforms.
Stay tuned to KZFR for another Imagining Community Report tonight at 6 p.m. And hear MASH's conversation with Zeke Lunder about wildfire, spring run Chinook salmon, and hard truths about life in fire-prone lands. And for more Imagining Community podcasts, search Imagining Community at most major streaming services. You're listening to the Chico News and Review Show on KZFR 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. All right, so this week the city council met, and it was the first time that the public was allowed into meetings since they had the stipulation at the beginning of the pandemic where they weren't going to have in-person meetings anymore. Ken Smith was there. Ken, tell us about what went down.
So it was the first meeting in chambers since the beginning of COVID. And there was the usual kind of some of the usual suspects from both sides. Rob Berry speaking about he was specifically talking about how people who are known as homeless haters are actually the ones who really care about the homeless, and the usual back and forth. The most interesting things that popped out were there's a nonprofit organization based in Oroville, based out of the South Side Oroville Community Center called Haven of Hope on Wheels, which provides showers, laundry, mobile laundry and showers for hundreds of people in Oroville. And so the two people from that organization actually stood up and offered to begin visiting Comanche Creek once a week, which would be a really amazing thing. And then also another kind of along the solutions line that was proposed was Leslie Johnson of Chat talked a little about Conestoga huts, which are these small dwellings that are being used in some cities, as an alternate to tent camping. Larry Halstead, who's kind of emerged as he's unhoused himself, and also a freelance journalist, got up and said some interesting stuff about the homelessness issue, and particularly about how things are moving along at an interesting pace since the lawsuit. And we have a brief clip, I believe,
of that. Yeah, let's listen to that real quick.
I believe that, like Martin Luther King said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends in the direction of justice. And I think you guys are about ready to see some.
Thank you, Mr. Howell.
And then as far as any other talk of homelessness, there was some talk about how they're going to use the COVID relief funding from the federal government, CDBG grants, COVID-19. A couple were allocated for projects along the way. Like some money was supposed to go to a navigation center that was supposed to be a homeless shelter of sorts, but that fell through. Some money was also allocated to Chat to either lease or purchase the townhouse motel. And then that fell through as well. So yeah, it's kind of, they had a few things in mind that didn't work out, but it's kind of nerve-wracking to see that there's money there that they just need to chase, and they haven't been effectively doing it yet. But there was some talk during that about if that money could be used for a sanctioned campground, which has become kind of the main talking point as far as what people are talking about as, kind of an easiest solution to the massive problems we have going on as far as lack of shelter.
So I know that they also discussed commercial cannabis at the meeting. Before we you talk about that, let's listen to a clip out of context.
Right, because if we're going to destroy the city with dope, I want to make sure at least we get the money for it.
All right, that was City Council Member Sean Morgan speaking about, what was he speaking about?
He was speaking about basically the conversation last night, and actually that clip says a lot about the conversation last night and about the entire conversation surrounding commercial cannabis in Chico for the last several years and years and years. So basically last night they spoke about two different options as far as a way to that the city can reap some benefits financially and otherwise from when dispensaries will eventually be allowed. So they talked about something called a community benefit agreement versus a development agreement. Development agreement is more tied to like zoning and the building operations and types of businesses. So, you know, it could be, you know, some funding there, but the CBA seemed to be the favored choice. And it's kind of like, basically you can put some financial measures in place so that the city can get some money. The problem goes back to, well, partly legitimate and partly just kind of continuation of the war on drugs, I guess. And that's that the state model that exists is all that was included in the ordinance as far as taxation from marijuana. And the way it's set up right now, there's not a whole lot for the community unless they do one of these things on the side or pass a tax on commercial cannabis,
yeah,
which they also talk about. With either of these options, they could actually do that in the future. But also, you know, these options might help well. So with the CBA, they can even do things like, you know, give money to community organizations, to certain causes, to say drug education, to even drug enforcement, if that were something that were pitched, which knowing the Conservative Council, I would suspect that they want money for more cops.
Sure.
So, so basically the direction was to look into the CBA option and then come back at the beginning of next month with how to move forward with that.
Well, was anything else to report?
You know, the meeting was just no major actions taken, but I guess, yeah, actually a very interesting thing that's been going on the last 2 weeks is the mayor formed an ad hoc committee to discuss homeless solutions. There's been originally it was set for 3 meetings, all held on Zoom. One was with service providers, one with homeless advocates, and one with enforcement advocates. And then, pardon me, they decided to do 3 more. Yesterday's was with some city safety officials, fire chief, some folks from the Target team at Chico Police Department, and a few other county and city officials. There was one this morning. I believe that one was with business owners. It's the only one that I haven't had the opportunity to sit in on. And it all culminates tomorrow, and there will be a big one from 2 to 5 in council chambers that will actually be a public meeting.
Great.
Where everyone is invited to come out and speak about this issue.
Community members are invited to voice their comments or suggestions on homeless solutions in person tomorrow, Friday, May 7th, at City Council Chambers from 2 to 5 p.m. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Chico News and Review Show on KZFR 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. When the COVID-19 pandemic forced the closure of the bars, theaters, and galleries last year, a large part of our community disappeared. It's been a rough year for the arts and for a newspaper that's always been devoted to covering the scene. With coronavirus cases dropping, plus the announcement by Governor Newsom that California is tentatively set to allow businesses, including performance spaces, to reopen on June 15th, there is reason for some optimism. And as we are now seeing art makers and presenters cautiously pulling back the curtains, the Chico News and Review wants to do its part to help restore the vibrant art and live performance scene that this town is known for. And the best way for us to help is by telling the stories and letting the audiences that are hungry for arts and entertainment know what the artists and the venues are up to. So starting today and for the next few months, the CNNR will be putting the spotlight on the arts venues in Butte County with our Bring Back the Arts campaign. Yours truly will interview the leaders of local arts and music venues about their recovery efforts. And each week, the CNR will feature a Q&A both online at chico.newsreview.com and on this radio show. First up, Mark Edson, Executive Director of Chico Theater Company, the long-running local theater that specializes in musicals and has been programming family-friendly entertainment for nearly 18 years. Chico Theater Company recently announced a new season, and starting May 21st, it'll be the first local company to bring back live in-person audiences for indoor performances since the beginning of the pandemic. You're starting a new season. You're coming back with a full slate of is this your normal full slate?
Normally we have 8 shows. This year we're doing 5. We're planning in on May 21st with opening inside.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as things go in the direction they're going, it seems like that's a reasonable thing to plan for.
Yeah, we're going to do the social distancing. We blocked out every other row, 2 seats between every party. We'll have people wear masks until they get to their seats.
Okay.
I think that'll cover us. And then the second show is not until July, and I'm thinking by then, you know, the social distancing at least will be gone.
What's the opening show? The foursome.
The ladies foursome.
The ladies foursome. That's
Yeah. It actually had its U.S. premiere at the B Street Theater down in Sacramento, and it was so popular they brought it back again. And we had already been doing the foursome, the guy's version that he wrote before the ladies foursome. We'd been rehearsing that since last January and never got to do it.
Oh, gosh.
So that's why we had that scheduled for August. But in the meantime, I put the ladies foursome in first because I had the 4 women ready to go. And I think it's actually a little bit of a more funnier show, and it has a little more heart to it.
Okay.
It's basically 19 or 18 holes of golf, and then the final, they have the 19th hole, they call it, where they kind of wrap everything up.
Yes. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in person coming back. Are you anticipating... Well, I mean, I'm sure you're going to be as full as you possibly can be.
Yeah.
But are you anticipating some sort of return to normal?
Yeah, we saw a taste of that in fall when we did those 2 shows.
Okay.
You know, people sitting in their lawn chairs watching it, and they were literally almost in tears for just being able to be back and to watch shows again. And then we started selling season tickets because we got those 5 shows set up. And everyone who calls is just like, oh, my God, I'm so happy that you're back. I have missed you so much.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting emails and comments on the sales, you know, where they can comment in the little box. Like, we're so glad you're back. We miss you so much.
Oh, good.
It's just been a busy but a very, you know, heart-touching time that's been going on.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
What have you been doing during all this downtime?
We did a lot of work on the building. Okay. We actually had our last tenant move out because we own the building.
Okay.
In Suite A, so we have gone through and painted and redid the floor and all that stuff. That's going to be some more offices for us. We painted the outside of the building. We painted the inside of the auditorium. Fixed the seating in the back, so now there's a drink rail in the back. You can sit at a stool with a drink rail.
Oh, nice.
And several other things like that. Just kept very busy.
And how about you personally? You had some downtime? Or
I did. I actually went on unemployment for 17 weeks, even though I was still here.
Sure.
But I went tubing down the Sacramento 19 times.
That's awesome. That's so good. Good for
it
you.
Was so good.
Was that restorative?
Yes, yes.
How has the theater been able to stay open?
Well, luckily, most of the season ticket holders donated back their tickets.
Oh, my gosh.
To the tune of probably about $50,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And that was a big help. We gave some refunds, and some people asked for credit, you know, towards future shows. And then a lot of people gave financial donations, you know, during this time. We did get 2 of the payroll protection loans.
Okay.
That totaled about $50,000.
Nice.
and we've applied for other grants. The Aaron Rodgers one again, California Arts Council for a $15,000, and I just this morning finished the SVOG Save Operations Grant.
Better business.
It's for all kinds of venues, you know, music places, yeah, like, you know, which you're very familiar with. They'll reimburse up to 45% of lost income.
Oh, my gosh. Well, good
so
luck.
I just finished it, and we would qualify for $150,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So do you feel optimistic then that you guys would be able to continue doing what you've been doing?
Yes. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Luckily, we had money in the bank. We were pretty prudent.
Okay.
And, you know, not to talk numbers too much, but we had $140,000 in the bank.
Oh, good.
And right now it's down to about $25,000.
Okay.
So it's like,
yeah.
You know, costs run about $8,000 or $9,000 a month, so that goes away very quickly.
So, what about the schedule you have? Is it made up of stuff that you had to cancel before and you're rescheduling, or did you just go start new?
It's a little of each. I stuck with smaller cast shows. Because of the awareness of, you know, wanting to get around anyone who could possibly be sick. And the first three shows, I knew that I could take them outside if I had to.
Okay.
If the health department requires us to. You know, there are two golf shows. There's a ladies' foursome. And then the third show is the foursome, rehearsing for a year and a half. And then in between is a new musical called Daddy Long Legs, with just two people in it.
Okay.
And
interpret some musical.
Yeah, we could... simplify the set, and it's going to have live music, and we could take it outside if we had to. So the foursome was on last year's schedule, and then Clue, which comes up in October, was also on last year's schedule.
Okay.
And then the Christmas show, I substituted the Winter Wonderettes instead of Holiday Inn. Holiday Inn had like 25...
Sure.
In the cast, Winter Wonderettes has four.
I know that this theater was touched by COVID at least one time. John Fuller, who was an actor here, what was your relationship with him?
John had done, I think, four shows with us. Okay. Lovely man, just loved theater, and I didn't even know he'd gotten sick. And then all of a sudden, I heard from one of his daughters that he'd passed away, and just, you know, like that, it just seemed like it was so quick. We got to attend. I spoke at his service.
Oh, good.
And then we had four or five actors there that all got up and spoke, you know, to the other people that were there. Really, it made it very real.
What are your thoughts on Chico coming back to being a flourishing arts place again?
It's taken quite a hit, you know, at the Blue Room, losing their space. They're still a group, and you know, maybe we can work them into here, or they can use, you know, Performing Arts Center at PB or something. But that was really heartbreaking that happened. And I know Judy up at Theater on the Ridge is coming back, but they, with their senior population, really want to be safe with they do. I think it's going to come back. And from the response I've seen with the ticket sales just in this last week and a half, I'm very excited that people are willing to come back and see
great.
The shows. Plus, you know, we sold in a week and a half, we sold about 250 season tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
It was awesome. And that 35% of those had never bought season tickets before.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. So maybe as everyone comes back online, you'll be even above where you were.
Yeah.
Wow.
But new people. I know there's going to be some older people that just aren't going to come back.
Sure.
But that 35% new season ticket holders was really cool.
Wow. Great. Good for you, man. That's great.
The Ladies Foursome at Chico Theater Company shows Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. starting May 21st through June 6th. Visit chicotheatercompany.com for tickets and more info. All right, thank you for tuning in to the Chico News and Review Show, and thank you to KZFR 90.1 FM for hosting us each Thursday at 5 p.m. Also, thank you to the band Buick for the tunes that played in between segments on this evening's show. And as always, thank you to Cat Depot for our theme music that opens and closes the program. And remember, the May print issue of the Chico News and Review is out now. Find it in racks all over Butte County and check out the paper online at chico.newsreview.com. Take care.